Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. It is a grade one weekend of jumps action and we have got you covered as always on the Postcast. It's the Clarence House at Ascot this weekend. We'll be looking at all four runners in detail for the big grade one, as well as a very intriguing card at Ascot with plenty of clues to the all-important Cheltenham Festival. There'll be clues in the north, as well as we'll be looking at Haydock's card, including a Peter Marsh made even better by the fact we didn't get to see the Classic Chase last weekend. Loads of good runners and a very competitive feature race to look forward to there. We've got a stellar cast for some stellar racing as well. Joining me on the panel this week in the top right, if you're watching along, is Johnny Pearson, Racing Post handicapper. Bottom left, Robbie Wilders, our Racing Post tipster. And it may be cold out there, but it's not in the Ed Nicholson camp. Ed, a 22-1 winner on the show last week of a big race, the Lanzarote. We were having frost and abandonments and everything like that, Ed, but you have certainly delivered. What a hell of a selection that was. You must have enjoyed last weekend.
Yes, I did. I had a couple of seconds as well. So it wasn't a bad podcast for everyone to watch last week, even though Warwick was off, which was not good. But as you say, some of the horses that were going to run there are running this week. So really looking forward to this week. It genuinely is a really exciting day of racing on Saturday.
Yes, and we've got some good form to keep up. Lads, I hope you've listened in. 22-1 is the bar. I'm expecting double those odds. I'm expecting 25-1 or better, let's just say that. Let's see what we can do. Let's get stuck in. And the first race we're going to look at is the 140 at Ascot, the BetMGM Warfield Mares Hurdle, a Grade 2 contest led by Nurse Susan with Unibet at 7-4. La Conquiere at 11-4 for the Jamie Snowden team. Joyeuse at 7-2 along with Sunset Marquesa and Ooh Betty the Outsider at 11-1. Let's go to you first. Johnny, great to have you back on the show. What do you like in our opener?
Yeah, thanks, James. In the opener, it's a pretty competitive race, even though there's only five runners in it. You can make a case for Joyeuse with some of their form last season, especially the Cheltenham run where she was behind Lossiemouth in the Mayor's Hurdle. But I think she's been beaten enough times for me to not want to be getting involved with her. I'd rather look elsewhere in the market. And the one that stands out is the Jamie Snowden trained La Conquiere. She only had four runs and what second in two bumpers. And then this season came back at Utoxeter in October, won the race, short price. And she went and won at Newbury, very impressively, pulling away, kept drawing further and further away the closer they got to the line. And I think she's going to carry on improving and can definitely take another step forward here and get the better of some of the sort of more raced horses. Nurse Susan keeps winning as well, but I don't think she's been running in the best races ultimately. And La Conquiere has got so much upside. I can see her running a really big race.
Yeah, I was certainly hugely impressed with her at Newbury last time, it must be said. And Jamie Snowden was full of compliments for her after the race as well when that went on Coral Gold Cup Day. So we got one shout for that one from Johnny. Do you agree, Ed?
Yeah, wholeheartedly. Although she's on official ratings the worst horse in the race in terms of she's got to improve past them all, I think she will. That's a really good performance at Newbury, as has been mentioned already. It was the style of the win. She pulled a little bit early and then she found plenty at the end. I know, having spoken to Jamie Snowden, he thinks the world of this filly mare, and she's 10-1 to win the novices mare at Cheltenham already. But she will need to show another bit of improvement, and I think she will. Main reason is I think she's relatively inexperienced. Well, she is inexperienced, and she'll get better with that experience. But also, the horse at the top end of the market, Nurse Susan, she ran in a Unibet-sponsored race at Sandown last time and was one of the first horses off the bridle. Comes back down to distance, 2 miles. I don't think that's in her favour. I think she's more of a staying type of mare than a speed mare. Good to soft ground at Ascot at the moment. I just think Nurse Susan was definitely worth taking on, and the one I want to take her on with is La Conquiere. Joyeuse hasn't really taken to fences. Should have won at Exeter last time when taking the lead in the fog. Made a couple of mistakes and the Skelton horse got up on the inside. And at Bangor before that was woeful. So she's coming back hurdling. She is the best horse in the race. So I wouldn't put anyone off her. But yeah, I'm going to go for the young improving one. And I'm expecting La Conquiere to win.
Two shouts for our 11-4 second favourite. Are we going to make it three, Robbie?
Yes, James. Like the guy is very keen to take on Nurse Susan. She looked a bit flat-footed at Sandown last time. Looked like she was going to be well-beaten. It was eventually her stamina that got her home over that stiff 2.5 miles there. So this sort of dropped back to 1.75 miles at Ascot. Doesn't look like the natural progression to me. I mean, sure, she's got some class and she's been much improved the last two starts. But, yeah, I'm against her over the trip. I'd be all over Joyous if this was... If she was anything like the form she was in a year ago, because if she returns that William Hill hurdle form, I think she'll probably win this. That was one of the handicap performances of the season, I thought. But La Conquiere, I had a good look at her at the start of the week. She's about 9-1. That has completely collapsed with a lot of non-runners. She had different entries, etc. But the fact she's running here, the price has dried up, but I do like her profile. Her form lines are working out well. Beat a subsequent winner who won easily a couple of days ago. Since she's joined Jamie Snowden, really, she's just taken big leaps forward every time. I think she's classy and an out and out 2 mile, a bit of a flat pedigree, likes the soft ground. So yeah, I think she might be the up and comer that has a bit too much for the established ones.
Well, we are all in agreement because that would be my selection as well. I don't know if that's good news or bad news, but it's all good when we're siding together. Are we going to side together in our second race? This is the 220 at Ascot, the Bet365 handicap chase, a really competitive looking race, especially loads of horses. We've seen plenty this season. Loads of different form lines, including that of Vincenzo, the multiple second, the Paddy Power second, and December Gold Cup second. He is 85-40 favourite with Unibet. Scarface at 9-2. Bad, we know all about him, at 5-1. Eliton at sixes. Hitman at the top of the weights at 15-2. Neon Moon, 17-2. Heltonham at 12s. Fugitive at 14s. And Jungle Boogie, the outsider, at 18-1. We'll start with you this time. Robbie, what do you like in this competitive enough handicap chase?
I like the absolute outside of the field, Jungle Boogie. Been a big fan of this horse for a while. First of all, I just want to say I want to take on Vincenzo. He's fairly short price considering. I'm not sure he's really improving. He keeps going up in the weights for finishing second in decent handicaps, but I think we might have found his level. RPRs of 144 in his last three starts. Basically, the best horse in the race is Jungle Boogie on his best form. He's probably entitled to have needed his return in the New Year's Day handicap chase at Cheltenham. He was very weak in the betting that day. First run in 10 months. Stable debut for Venetia Williams. He's got course and distance winning form. He won that condition, the graduation chase, that Iroko won in December in the previous season. Just come down to a mark of 152. On his best, he was sort of flirting with grade one class. He is 12, but he's impeccably lightly raced for an older horse. Got the course and distance form. I just don't think he has any right to be around 20-1 or what sort of price he is at the moment.
Yeah, 18-1, Robbie. There's obviously somebody listening. So Robbie is very keen to take on the favourite. Ed, are you keen to take on the favourite in Vincenzo?
No, I'm taking on Robbie Wilders. I really fancy Vincenzo. Really fancy Vincenzo. I think the last two runs have been pretty decent. Only been nudged up a couple of pounds and £1 for those two runs in. Let's face it, two of the biggest and most competitive handicaps of the season, the Paddy Power and the December Gold Cup. Sam Thomas horses are in form. They're perennially in form. He doesn't seem to be ever out of form. He's got a Racing Post RTF of 83% with his runners at the moment. Two winners from his last six, including Cedif Ron. He was different gravy yesterday, wasn't he? At Newbury, is now favourite to win the Potemps final with us at Unibet. But in the same colours, I think Vincenzo can go one better. Not only do I think he's got the best form in the race, I think 140 is a fair handicap mark. I really do. Those two runs, he's only been put up, two and one. But I also think the opposition are full of horses that are professional losers or running at the wrong track. So Bad, as we all know, is very good at Kempton and bad elsewhere. Scarface keeps coming second. Same as Hitman. I think Hitman's come second 10 times in 27 chases. I expect him to run well here, but I think he will come second again. And some of the others just don't seem to have it. Fugitive should have run better in the one of our Unibet middle distance chases last time, I think. And I Jungle Boogie would be a horse I'd put in the frame without doubt. I think it's a very good price at 20-25-1. But yeah, I'm all over Vincenzo. I think he's got a lot in his favour, and I'm against the anti-postman.
Okay, well, what a bold thing to do. Who knows what we can do? But Vincenzo is Ed Nicholson's selection. Robbie doesn't seem so afraid of someone taking him on, which is good to see. Johnny, are you siding with either of the boys or going elsewhere?
Well, This come Saturday night, Robbie and I are going to boogie the night away down at your local nightclub in, I don't know, Reading or Maidstone, well, wherever you are. Whichever comment gets the most likes, Robbie Wilders will go clubbing there and dance. After
I'm not going out on Saturday night, mate. I'm not interested. Make your case for me.
But Jungle Boogie, I seem to keep tipping his horse up every time he runs. He is 12 now, but just go back to his win at Ascot in December 2024. Supreme performance that day. He ran all right for a long way at Cheltenham last time. Didn't get home. Lightly needed it. And Robbie's said pretty much everything else you need to know. He has a cracking chance. Massively overpriced. Really fancy him each way.
Well, if I
might also add as well, this horse always reserves his best runs for between the middle of December and the middle of January. Always happens every year. Don't know if there's anything in that, but let's hope so, JP.
Okay, well, the boys really are teaming up, even if Johnny is being left stranded on the dance floor on Saturday night. But we'll find out more come Saturday night, and we're interested to see what happens here. But Jungle Boogie is a selection of Robbie and Johnny, and Ed is with Vincenzo, the favourite. 253 is where we go next at Ascot. 253 BetMGM Holloway's handicap hurdle, where at the top of the market for the Golden Ace team is came from nowhere. Jeremy Scott and Lorcan Williams, 11-4. This one pretty hot in the market. Surrey Lord at 4-1. Favoir at 5s. Triple E Flyer for the Fergal O'Brien team, 6-1. Top of the weights. Thanks for the help at 8, along with Move It Like Mini. March De Alegre, 14-1. Samuel Spade, 16s. Patriotic, 20s. And Metier at 25-1. Ed, start us off. There's a 25-1 shot in there. I mean, it's not going to be Nicholson strikes again, is it?
No, other end of the market, I'm afraid, James. We're super boosting this race. And Came From Nowhere will be the selection. If you look at that horse's performance last time at Hereford, first win. Swinging off the bridle, only gone up £7, was always going to win there. Lorcan Williams took the widest route and still won under Hands and Hills. Was taken out of the Lanzarote last week because of the ground. So interesting that they come here on good to soft ground. He looks like a horse who's going to progress and keep going up the handicap. Only on 1-2-4 at the moment. I think there's plenty more to come. And I expect Jeremy Scott to have another winner. Big race Saturday winner.
Indeed. Came From Nowhere, 11-4 favourite is Ed's selection. What would yours be, Robbie?
Yes, my selection. Very interested in Came From Nowhere, Jeremy Scott. Had a good look at this race at the start of the week. I thought his chief danger, Wandering Ego, is not even running, so we can forget him. I think the pathway is clear. He won a good race at Hereford, a very good race for the track standards in December. Nemi and Lion won it the previous year. Won it. He was on the bridle, essentially jumping the last, just pushed out by Lorcan Williams. I thought that was a really impressive performance. It was his first start over an intermediate distance in a first-time tongue tie. I thought there was plenty under the bonnet. He's only up £7. I'm not sure this race is even that much better, to be honest. It's cut up a little bit. You get him something like 3-1. I think that's perfectly good. He's a strong traveller. He's going to like the soft ground. He was taken out of Lanzarote last week because the surface was too quick. Plenty of rain at Ascot on Thursday. That's going to suit. I think he'll come down the bridle. And I don't think anyone will catch him.
Came From Nowhere, 2 shouts for this horse. In fact, this horse was in my track for quite a while because I know from Jeremy Scott, who always thought very, very highly of him. And having backed him when he was second at a big price and completely missed when he was running at Hereford. It's always the way, isn't it? So make sure you stick close to your Racing Post tracker is the moral of the story. 2 for Came From Nowhere. Johnny, are you going to make it 3?
I am not going to be making it 3, James. I'm going to be going for Harry Cobden in JP McManus's Silks, and thanks for the help. He's not been running too well this season, but he won a Punchdown. The handicap was pretty brutal to him, I felt. But it was a good performance. They're changing to cheek pieces this time from cheek pieces, which obviously they're hoping will bring about improvement. But if you go back to that Punchdown, it's a really, really good piece of form. Ali Sachs Hank went and ended up winning at Market Raisin in the summer, I believe, actually. And it's a solid piece of form, as I say. It's got some other good pieces of back form. I wouldn't want the ground getting too soft for the horse. That would be my one concern. So I will be very much keeping an eye on the rain and how much Ascot actually hit by in the coming days. But I think he's got a really good chance at a decent price for a handicap.
Thanks for the help at 8-2-1 with Unibet. Last race we're going to look at in detail is the big one at Ascot. This is the 330, the Bet MGM Clarence House Chase. Just four in there, but four quality horses to go to the Grade One. Ilite Tomps for Willie Mullins and Paul Townend. He is 8-2-15 favourite. John Bond at 4-1. Harry Cobden, a huge ride in those. JP McManus is Silks, of course, having taken that job. Officially to start of next season, of course, earlier this week. Well, Harry Cobden could well make a flying start. John Bond is 4-1. Fifth Ask, the Holland Gold Cup winner. He's not stopped improving. 13-2 to continue his fantastic year. And Gidley Park at 7-1 outsider for Harry Fry. Robbie, we'll come on to the Clarence House, but we should just touch on this big news for Harry Cobden. Came out earlier this week. A massive opportunity for a very, very talented rider.
Yeah, very much so. It looks a good fit. There's not really anyone better than him. People could argue Sean Bowen or whatnot, but just think Harry's got this kind of stealthiness, this ice cool nature about him. He can handle the sort of big occasion. He's proven that with Nichols, one of the biggest jobs around. I think it makes perfect sense, and I fully expect him to go on and have a brilliant career as JP's number one.
And will he make a flying start in the Clarence House on Saturday?
No, because he is aboard John Bond, who is past his best, in my opinion. He did actually run better in the Tingle Creek, though, to be fair. I shouldn't slag him off too much. He reversed the form with Lotus Sud. But I just feel like Lotus Sud is the kind of horse that just needs best fresh. I don't think I think he ran a lot worse at Sandown after his brilliant win in the Schlur. Ilite Tomps had his number both times they've met, and I can only see him continuing to do so. One of the best horses in training for me, Ilite Tomps. He's just turned inside out over the last couple of years. The only reason you can criticise him is his Cheltenham record, but I just think he's a better horse now. This race isn't at Cheltenham. He's mustered right-handed. I see no real dangers. I wouldn't be shocked if Gidley Park was second. I think he's on an upward curve for Harry Fry. And Fry thought he would have won the 2 mile handicap off a big weight on his return. He instead faced Django Bay in the 1965. Django Bay is obviously one of the best stand chasing in training. Just didn't stay as well as Django Bay that day. I still think he's an interesting 2 mile prospect, very lightly raced. So if I was having a wager, I'd probably go for Ilite Tomps Gidley Park forecast.
Okay, very interesting. Like the sound of that, I think Gidley Park could well be competitive as well. But we're taking on John Bond with Robbie Wilders. Johnny, what's your verdict on the Clarence House?
My verdict on the Clarence House is I will be shocked if Ilite Tomps doesn't finish first here. He's much the best horse in the race. You just need to look at his recent record. He's obviously had issues, and as Robbie rightly says, his Cheltenham record's got something to be desired for. But since he won at Aintree in April 2024, he's looked a much different horse. And he just turned up and wins with very minimal fuss, it seems. And I can't see him not winning the race. Fifth Alaska is going to get a lot of media attention, and rightly so. He's been, you know, he was rated 108 back in February, and he's now rated 158. That's £50 higher. But on Racing Post ratings, he's still got another £17 to find with Ilite Tomps. And quite simply, he's not going to close that gap on him. And John Bond, as Rob said, not quite good enough. Maybe going over 2.5 will seem to better effect, as we saw at Aintree in spring. And Gidley Park, he has got talent, but is not a horse I can ever back with too much confidence. He's had enough problems in the past for me to be put off by him.
Okay, so it's Ilite Tomps, strong fancy for the odds on favourite. Ed, just to come on to your selection, we know, of course, Unibet's involvement with the Nicky Henson yard. What is the vibes regarding John Bond? And of course, that all important question, does he need that just a bit further distance wise now?
Well, I think Nicky Henderson always said that when he first began John Bond, who incidentally won one of the races we're going to look at Haydock as a novice hurdler, I think he always thought he was going to be a 3 miler. But then when he showed that he kept on winning over two, there was no need for him to be stepped up in distance. Obviously, he did do an Aintree, and I think everyone was thinking, including me, that he might go to three for the King George. But other horses have come on the horizon as seven boroughs. I know that JP McManus is very keen to keep him to 2 miles. And if he's good enough to still run well in these grade ones at 2 miles, let's keep him in the 2 miles. I think that's Nicky's mantra. I hear what everyone's saying about 2.5, because I thought that. But I actually thought he ran a good race at Sandown. Everyone keeps saying he's 10 years old and he's on the downgrade. According to the Racing Post ratings, he ran almost as well as he has done for a couple of years in that race. And I just think that Elle Tom actually put in a really good performance that day. And I think you should rather look at him rather than say that John Bond's waiting. Now, having said all that, this is a classic case of who's going to win the race, but who's the value? I wouldn't back Elle Tom's at 8-15. I would back John Bond at 9-2. I think there's too big a price difference between the two, especially when we know that John Bond loves Ascot, 2 from 2, especially when we know that Harry Cobden will be on his best behaviour. He'll be wanting to make a hell of a start with JP on what is JP's favourite horse. I mean, that shouldn't affect him, but I'm sure that he'll leave no stone unturned to talk to both Nico and other riders that have ridden John Bond, because he's not the easiest of rides, but Harry is an absolute wonderful jockey. So, yeah, who do I think is going to win the race? I think on form, Elle Tom's got to win. But I think the value, John Bond at 9-2, I think the race will be run to suit. This last has only got one way of going. He'll go off, make it a test of stamina. That will suit the favourite as well, but that's what John Bond needs. John Bond needs a very fast run 2 mile race at this stage of his career, and I think he'll get that. So yeah, I'm having a bet on John Bond at 9-2. Elle Tom's obviously the odds on favourite, obviously because of that he's got the best chance on the ratings and form, but John Bond's just too big a price, 9-2.
Okay, John Bond, of course, who's never been out of that front two. Will he continue that fantastic record? Where Ed Nicholson seems to think he is the value in the race, but Elle Tom, we seem to have agreement, is the one to beat. Now, quick mention of what's happened over the last few weeks. We've had quite the milestone for our sponsors, Unibet, a 3,000th race sponsored by the firm, covering all sorts of races, the grade ones to the low levels, huge supporters of racing. And we're going to find out a little bit more right now.
They're away.
And it's Constitution Hill, one of the hurdling greats. Simply breathtaking.
Ben Battle up towards the line, 7 years young. The 2022 Breeders' Cup Turf Hero, he's back to winning ways. Rebel's Romance.
The champion is back. The champion, Boomer there.
11 victories for Honeysuckle. She is the winner of the Unibet Champion Hurdle.
Back-to-back wins in the Unibet Champion Hurdle. Honeysuckle again. State man dominating successive Unibet Morgianas for Paul Tannen and Winnie Ballard.
Great job there from Altior. He's going to win the Unibet Desert Orchid Chaser 2018. Lossy Mouth makes a winning return and takes the Unibet hurdle brilliantly.
We say a swan song to Enable. She and Frankie Dettori having lit up 3 years of domestic racing.
And Frodon and Bridie Frost win.
Cardam is all class and wins the Unibet Stewards Cup.
And Mostard Athens won the Unibet September Stakes.
And Numitor wins the Unibet Series Finale.
Great to see that little clip there. And Ed, the sponsorship certainly no signs of spotting. We've got some Unibet Veterans Middle Distance Card qualifier, of course, ahead of the big final later this season. Great to see that clip and all the support of Unibet over the years. And my word, some good names as well. It's important to have our sponsors, of course, in British racing. So credit to you and your team.
Yeah, thanks, James. And I'd like to say plenty of owners send letters to me as well after their horses win races. And it's lovely to get those letters, not just from the big stables, but from the smaller stables, smaller owners. And it is nice to be appreciated. But, you know, we are a big racing betting company. We, as I say, 3,000 race sponsorships now and 12 and a half years. We love sponsoring these races. And the Unibet Hurdle next week at Cheltenham will be a fantastic race to look forward to with Sugino. Taking on the new line, hopefully. That will be a hell of a race. And we've got the middle distance veteran chases, as you say, on Friday. The Flyer Begley comes back out, the winner of last year's final. I know Gary Hanmer has always said that he was going to run in January with that race in April on his agenda. So yeah, he'd be worth looking at market racing on Friday, about 7-1 at the moment. He's won a market racing before. So yeah, plenty of good sponsors. And I must say, Harry Cobden, he won his first Grade One in November 2016 in a Stan James sponsored race. It was a company we bought aboard Irving in the Fighting Fifth, and there's a lovely picture on my X handle of Harry looking very youthful, winning the first of his 28 Grade Ones. I think he's going to win at least another 28 with the green and gold silks in the next few years. It's a great addition to JP McManus's team, I think.
Yes, absolutely. And we are going to turn our attention to Haydock now, where, as Ed touched on before, a race which really was one of the launch pads for John Bond's career, potentially another launch pad for a very good prospect from the Nick Henson stable. This is the 125 at Haydock, the Sky Bet Supreme Trial, Rossington Main Novices Hurdle, where Old Park Star, the favourite for the Supreme in March, looks to put his credentials on the line. He's 4-6 to win on Saturday with Unibet, Nico de Boinville taking the ride. Up in opposition, though, it looks a good race. Hurricane Pat, really good winner at Sandown, 2-1. He's definitely going to put up a real good test for Old Park Star. We've also got Soldier Reeves in there at 10s, Japetus at 14s, Tashkan 50, and Waharan at 100-1. Johnny, Old Park Star, are we thinking this is a potential star, and does he win on Saturday?
I mean, I watched back that win at Cheltenham this morning, and it was impossible. For all you can try and find flaws in the opposition that day, whatever it might be, he was so impressive on what actually looked a fairly decent field before the race. And Hurricane Pat was obviously good at Sandown last time, but he didn't take my eye the way that Old Park started. And I, again, like Ilite Tomd, think he's another horse that really should be winning this weekend, and you'd be very surprised if they didn't. It's not a bet I'll be having. I wouldn't be backing on his own. He's still very inexperienced and there's lots to learn and things go wrong. But I'd certainly be tempted with a double with him and Ilite Tomd this weekend.
Yeah, that could be the banker double, of course. Ed, we've touched on the Henderson stable and John Bond and the like. What are the vibes about Old Park Star? Is this one that potentially shows loads at home? Is it one that's a bit of a dark horse that's cracked through? What's the verdict?
I think Nicky thought when he ran at Cheltenham, well, I know he thought it was a deep race, and he was a little bit concerned that a lot of horses were running out of the race because, as he said, that type of horse, there wasn't that many options around that time. And he thinks that there were quite a few similar types that were going to run in that race, which I think tells you why he was a little bit surprised afterwards that he won by 12 lengths, because he thought it was a deep race. But obviously, he's one of the stable stars in terms of novices this year, and goes to a race that Nicky really does enjoy going to with good horses. He's only had 9 runners in this race this century. He's won 5 of those races. Jericho de Repenay, 24, John Bond in 22, and when I was there, Mr. Fisher in 2019. So it tends to be very good novices there, and there's no doubt that Old Park Star is a very good novice, already rated 142. But I'm going to go against the Seven Barrows team, because I really like Hurricane Pat. I thought that performance at Sandown was really quite impressive. The way that he won the Claremont there on bridle, soft ground might have come into it. The Moors were in great stable form as well, but he had Sober Glory in behind. Obviously, that wasn't Sober Glory's run. Sober Glory's come out and won since, but the way he did it, just I thought was tremendous, and he's not far behind on official ratings at this stage. I mean, obviously, they're both very young horses. They've got a long way to go. But I just thought 2-1 on Hurricane Pat was not a bad price to take on the favourite. Obviously, respect Old Park Star. But I looked at that race, and having spoken to Nicky, I thought, yeah, this is going to be a deep race. But I've gone back and looked at it, and I'd be interested in what the form boys think. But it doesn't look as good afterwards as it did before. So maybe it was one of those results that were, you know, 12 lengths looks good, but maybe it isn't. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking absolute rubbish and it wins by 20 lengths. But I'd rather be on Hurricane Pat, who won. That was a good race, wasn't it, at Sandown. And I think he's 25-1 at the moment for the Supreme. Old Park Star is 6-1. If that Hurricane Pat was to win this, he'll be second favourite for the Supreme.
Certainly would. Let's just bring you in, Robbie, regarding that Old Park star form. Is that something that's come into your thinking about whether potentially it wasn't as hot as we initially thought?
Yeah, 100%, James. I actually totally agree with Ed. If you look at all the others to have run since have gone on to achieve, the run at Glance at Midnight was absolutely stuffed in the form, but he didn't show anything. The two horses down the field have been well beaten in handicaps off low marks. So I think he's just sort of bumped into a novice hurdle that was poor by the track standards. Whereas Hurricane Pat, as Ed obviously touched upon, he's beaten Sober Glory, who was a wildly impressive winner himself yesterday in Newbury. Probably wasn't his true running, but I mean, he couldn't have done much else, Hurricane Pat. The time was 4.5 seconds quicker than the handicap won by Go Dante later on the card. So I think there's substance to that. It's going to be quicker terrain at Haydock, but he has won on good ground in the past. To me, there's no way that he can be 2-1 while the other one's odds on based on what they've achieved. Old Park Star does seem to have been a bit of a surprise package this season. Doesn't seem to be on the radar as one of Henderson's best novices. Maybe he still won't be. I don't know. Maybe he might be. But I think he's a bad price at 6 months for the Supreme. And I think Hurricane Pat is going to give him a real fight on Saturday.
Okay, Hurricane Pat is 2-1 in our opener at Haydock, the 125. We're going to move on to the 2 o'clock at Haydock now. This is a Sky Bet Peter Marsh handicap chase. And as we touched on at the start of the show, this race is a lot more deeper because, of course, the classic chase was abandoned from Warwick last week and not rescheduled. Myertown was among those runners who's meant to go to Warwick. He comes to Haydock instead and is 2-1 favourite for the Peter Marsh. Confusion is 9-4 second favourite. Johnny Who at 3-1. Royal Pagai, we know all about how much he loves Haydock. He's 11-2. Richmond Lake at 12-1. Nassalam, the former Welsh Grand National winner, is 25-1. Imperial Saint, 33-1. Outsider. Now, Ed, it's a bit like the 90s here. We've got two horses with Gold Cup entries. We've got a handicap, which could be a bit of a Gold Cup trial. And of course, to any regular postcast viewers and listeners, you know that Keith Melrose quite likes Myertown for the Gold Cup itself. Bit of a vintage throwback, this, isn't it? Looking at handicap for a Gold Cup trial and clues potentially.
James, you've honestly, we haven't spoken about this, but you've just teed me up for something, because this horse that I'm going to tip up reminds me of a horse called Master Oates, who won the Gold Cup in 1995. Confusion is very similar to Master Oates the season before he won the Gold Cup. Master Oates won 5 of his 7 handicap chases, starting off 107, then won off 115, then won off 126, ended up running the Grand National on 145. And this Confusion has done a similar type of thing. He started off 115 and then won off 136 last time. He's on 145. I think Confusion is a very good bet in this race on Saturday. And I think he could go even higher up outside of handicaps. And as you said, progress into a graded horse along with some others in the race, notably Myertown. So I'm all over Confusion. At Haydock, you've got to jump and you've got to stay. And, you know, Confusion jumps and he stays and he's improving. And I won't stop backing him until he loses. And even then, I'll probably back him again after that, because I think he really is a wonderful steeplechaser and just does remind me of the kind of profile of Master Oates. Doesn't look like Master Oates, but he reminds me of the profile. And last time we spoke about Myertown, and I know, you know, there are some, you know, people in the Racing Post who love Myertown have backed him at 100-1 to win the Cheltenham Gold Cup. But I said on last week's show that I could never back a horse to win on the back of a fall. And I just went in depth a bit more on those stats. And traditionally, if you just have a race over the last this century, 24% chance that you don't finish a race in a handicap chase. Over 178,000 runners, it's 24% don't finish a handicap chase. But if you fell last time, that increases to 31%. You're more likely to fall or not finish if you've fallen the last time. And I know he's going to go off favourite, and you might say, well, plenty of those horses have been outsiders. But even with favourites that fell, you're only looking at a 24% success rate. And 18% don't finish. I would worry about Myertown's jumping. I still would worry. He's definitely well handicapped. We all know that. And if he was not to run, if he was blemish free, he would win. And he's 9-4 to do so. But yeah, I'd rather be on a horse in Confusion who has unseated, and that was at Haydock, but he's a very safe conveyance normally, and he'll get my vote.
Okay, some fascinating numbers on fallers. I don't know what the stats are of if you fall three times, you go to the flat on Southall, but we'll find out whether that pays off later in a few weeks' time, even. Southall for Constitution Hill, his next port of call, a very valuable race to go for him. Robbie, let's look at you. You're obviously our anti-postman. Am I talking rubbish thinking this is a bit of a Gold Cup clue, or potentially could we be looking at two horses that could raise their game and enter the picture?
I think you could be right. I mean, Mightown was of a level of a grade one novice chaser last season on what he did in the Ultima. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think if he would have went on and ran at Aintree in the grade one novice chase there, he would have been a sort of a reasonable price, sort of 9-2 sort of thing. So if he does keep improving, yeah, because that's what happens with these second season horses. Look at Django Bay, for instance. I don't think he's that far off Django Bay sort of level last season. So it'll be fascinating to see what he can do. Like Ed says, it is obviously a worry that he fell last time. He's fallen a couple of times in his career. I just think out of the two with Gold Cup entries, I think his one makes more sense than Confusion's. Confusion has gone up £30 for winning a few races this season. He's been impressive. I don't think that Roland Merrick was a good running at all, though, to be honest. Whereas Mightown, I think he's definitely got something up his sleeve with 1-4-2. Confusion might as well, but I'm not sure quite to the same extent. I had a bit of 4-1 about Mightown earlier in the week. I couldn't understand why he was the same price for this as he was for the Coral Gold Cup. 24 runners, only 7 are running here. If, with a clear round, the fences aren't that challenging at Haydock. I think it will be very, very hard to beat.
Okay, Mightown at 2-1, and Robbie's already sniffed out that value. Just goes to show why you should keep an eye on Robbie Wilder's anti-postman content. Johnny, what's your verdict?
My view here is that Richmond Lake looks far too big a price for Donald McCain and Brian Hughes. You know, Brian Hughes coming down to ride 10 threes, notable in itself. He's not really been that low for a while. I couldn't tell you the exact time, the exact length of time, but it's been a while since he's been down to that way, as Harry Wilson pointed out in a piece earlier this week. And he was third in the race last year for mark of 142 behind Mr. Van Gogh, and that's a decent piece of form. He then ran well at Uttoxeter. Okay, he was pulled up behind Mightown at Cheltenham, and, you know, that wasn't his day. But he's now come back down to a mark of 134, £8 lower than he was in the race last year. He started at Bangor, didn't run too well, then ran at Aintree last time, finishing 9 lengths back behind Uncle Bert, but was, you know, stayed on over 2.5 miles, which is well short of what he needs. Back up to just over 3 miles here, back at Haydock, in the same race he ran in well last year. He should not be as big a price as he's got as good a chance as anything else in the race, and I'll definitely be having a decent bet on him.
Yep, and as we should say, Ed, this is your money back special.
Yeah, money back second in this race from 9 o'clock on Saturday. And also, we should know, which we haven't done for a bit, that every one of our naps, which we'll come to later on, we do boost to the next price from Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. So we haven't said that for a few weeks, but it's worth, if you do fancy any of our naps, good luck. But also, you'll get the next price up on the ladder.
Indeed. And if you did with Ed Nicholson last week, you would be very happy indeed and probably joining Johnny Pearson in the nightclubs of Reading. Let's move on to the 235 at Haydock, the Skybet Super Sub Handicap Hurdle, a market led by the Skeltons, 3-1, Dalston Lad, 9-2, Heather Honey, Solar System. A bit of money for this horse. He was 13-2, now 5-1 for JP McManus, Philip Hobbs and Johnson White. Both barrels is an 11-2 chance. Kintara 13-2. Phantom of the Points at 7-1. Also a bit of movement for this horse. He was 9-1 earlier this morning at the time recording on Thursday afternoon. Pinot Rouge at 9-1. Ikera Len 12s. Stairway Fade 25. And Innis or the outside at 33-1. Johnny, will come straight back to you. Talk us through the 235 at Haydock.
Well, there's a horse in here who has driven me slightly insane over the last couple of years, actually. Back in March 24, I thought Iker Allen was a good thing for Willie Mullins and Mark Walsh to win the Per Temps Handicap Hurdle at Cheltenham. He was pulled up, and then he went to John Joe O'Neill's yard and was pulled up at Aintree. And this followed a run of form where he went from a mark of 142 down to 115 before he won again, which, to be fair, only happened over the space of 6 months or so, which isn't drastic. He's been running all right. The John Joe O'Neill yard and AJ, of course, their yard's actually in decent form again now. his mark of 124 still looks very winnable for him. John Joe's taken the ride back this time, having had Benjamin Macy claiming the last four runs. I think he's got an absolutely brilliant chance in a handicap hurdle over 3 miles here. If he's the horse, if he can still be the horse I thought he once was, and doesn't and gets the 3 miles, he's again another decent bet at an each way price.
Yeah, last race of the day, and we finally found a bit of a cliff horse for the postcast, as always has to be done. 12-1 for Iker Alen. For Johnny, could well be well handicapped for the O'Neill team. What's your verdict, Ed?
Well, first of all, it's great to know that it's Akari Allen that's the problem with Johnny. I've always thought he was a bit mad, so it's interesting that it was Akari Allen that's driven him mad. I personally think Dalston Ladd will be the winner. Lightly raced, another Dan Skelton hurdler on a Saturday. How many winners has he had over the last few weeks on ITV? And this horse has relatively little mileage on the clock, ran in the bumper at Cheltenham, did finish 15th of 17 at 66-1. But that obviously shows how high they held this horse in regard back then. And interestingly, went up to Sedgefield to win at 4-9. As a consequence, his handicap mark couldn't go up that too much because he wasn't taking on horses that had any worthwhile form in relative terms, of speaking of races like this. So he's, I think, got a decent handicap mark to work from on 1-2-1. And Tristan Durrell's been riding really well. I heard a few people talk about him possibly being the next stable jockey to Paul Nicholl. That's how well he's been riding this year. I expect him to go really close. He's a favourite, but I think he's got a very good chance.
Dalston Ladd at 3-1 is Ed's selection. And last but certainly not least, Robbie Wilders.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Ed James about Dalston Ladd. He obviously ran in the champion bumper last season. That form has actually worked out really well. He got a few favourites for novice hurdles at Cheltenham, others prominent in the market. He was down the field there, but I think you can forgive any horse that. Just going back to his previous Aintree bumper win on Boxing Day in 2024, the three horses he beat fairly comfortably are all rated higher than he is now. So he just looks like he's on a really good mark. He is also, it could be a family result because he's a half-brother to Myertown. So half-brother to Myertown stepping up to 3 miles for the first time is interesting. The key is going to be whether he can settle because he has taken a grip over shorter in the past. But as he matures, I'd like to think he'll iron that out. He just looks on an outstanding mark. Whereas a lot of these, I think we kind of know their level. This horse could be have sort of a stone in hand. We don't know. So, yeah, Dalston Ladd for me.
Dalston Ladd, a second selection for him. Right, we are going to move on to any selections elsewhere. And the only one who's going to serve it up to us is Johnny. Are we heading to Ireland, I presume, with you, Johnny?
Yeah, we are. We're going to go to Navan on Saturday afternoon. And the horse in question will be a short price on the day, which he should be based on some of the form, and that's Slade Steel. He's actually winless since winning the Supreme Novices Hurdle back in 2024. But he's only had five runs since, and I was all over him last time at Punchestown, swinging along, going brilliantly, and Argento Boy unfortunately fell right in front of him, tripped him up, he had absolutely no chance. And provided he gets his luck, a bit more luck this time round, I really can't see any other result than him winning. Henry de Bromhead's horses are running well again. He just looks a good thing to me. I think he's a lot better than he's been showing, and I will be having a decent bet on him.
Okay, so just one from Johnny there, but that is, of course, the Supreme winner, Slade Steel, in the 2.25 at Navan, a short price, but if it's a short price and wins, that's happy and good enough for us. Okay, it's that time in the show where we look at our very best bets of the week. And given he was delivering a 22-1 shot last week, Ed, you can go first. What is the best bet this weekend, please?
Well, going to the side of the betting ladder this time around, in the 220 at Ascot, the favourite Vincenzo looks to have outstanding claim. Sam Thomas is stable, remaining tremendous form. And Vincenzo's come second in two big handicap chases already this season. I think he'll go one better and win the 220 at Ascot. That's Vincenzo.
Okay, Ed Nicholson in Vincenzo camp. Are we also going to Ascot with yours, Johnny?
Yes, we are, James. Thank you. We're going to get to the 140 at Ascot, and it's going to be La Conquiere for Gavin Sheehan and Jamie Snowden. She's an improving mare and could end up turning out to be better than the rest of these, and she's going to have my faith this weekend.
I'm going to go for Myertown in the 2 o'clock at Haydock, the Peter Marsh. Just feel this horse is only going to get better and potentially could well be up to a Gold Cup level. So Myertown for me, 2 well handicapped to avoid. And finish us off, Robbie, where are you heading?
Yeah, I'm with you there on my turn, James. I'm going to go for the 253 at Ascot. Came from nowhere. I think he won with an awful lot in hand at Wincanton, Hereford, sorry, last time. He's only got £7. I think he was valued for much more than that. And he's going to go very well at Ascot this time, I think.
West Country selection to finish us off. Thank you very much to our panellists. That's, if you're watching along in the top right, Johnny Pearson in the bottom left, Robbie Wilders, and of course, Ed Nookson in the bottom right. Well done again for Unibet's 3,000th milestone race this week. And here's to plenty more in the years to come, including the Unibet hurdle next week, which is an absolute stellar prospect. And we have got a show, action-packed show, which you surely cannot miss, looking at Festival Trials Day from Cheltenham. Loads of clues. We've got the Cotswold Chase there as well, which will be giving us points of the Gold Cup. And my word, we're going to find out just a lot more about those Cheltenham Festival fields next week. So do make sure to join us there. Hopefully a few winners alongside. But for now, have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy the racing. And of course, gamble responsibly.